desire of my heart, the deepest desire of my heart, is to spend myself on behalf of you, on behalf of love, to live my life every day and to give my life every day away for you. Father, tonight, as you've laid this word in my heart to bring forth, I ask you, Father, that you would bring it forth and not me. For like Moses, I am not very eloquent of speech. But you are the greatest communicator I've ever known in my life. So come forth tonight, Holy Spirit, and speak to your children tonight in ways that alter and change their lives and transform them more and more every day into the image and the glory of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if I get there before you, that song I have told my family will be played at my funeral. That is a great song and the goal of my life. And I want to talk to you tonight about, like I said, something that Jerry had said on Sunday that struck me. The point of sacrifice. He was talking about Gideon. He was in Judges 6, if you want to follow along tonight. And let me get there too. So he was talking about Gideon, and he was mentioning Gideon's sacrifice. And I love to listen to him preach like I do Andy, because they have such a great way when they preach of taking you into the moment in time. You know, they talk about the history and they can catch you up to what is happening, but then they also tell you and can have this way of, some people can tell stories and take you into the moment in time. God bless you. And so he was talking about Gideon's sacrifice and the incredible amount of cost and effort that it took Gideon in making this sacrifice for the Lord. Because we just read along, like I'll read you, I'll take you back. This is in Judges 6. I'm going to read 19 through 22. I'm reading tonight out of my lighter weight Bible, my New King James. So Gideon went in. He's starting to prepare the sacrifice. Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from the ephah flour. The meat he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and then he brought them out to him underneath the terebinth tree and presented them. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. And so Gideon, "Alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." And then in 23 it says, "And the Lord said to him, 'Peace be to you, do not fear, you shall surely not die.' Gideon built an altar there to the Lord, and it is called 'The Lord is Peace' to this day." He talked about, you know, we read in the Bible about when the children would bring a sacrifice, when they would bring the lamb, when they would prepare a sacrifice, the bull, or whatever it was that they were going to bring. In this case, you see that he's preparing the broth and he's preparing the bread. And he talked about the intensive work that it took to do that. And he took you into that moment. And then he said, you know, you think about the fact that he went through all this effort and all this time, and he brought that sacrifice, and it was immediately what? Consumed. It was immediately consumed. It was immediately gone. And it struck me when he said it, and I really began to think about it. You know, the whole point of a sacrifice is obviously that it would be consumed, right? Is that not the point of a sacrifice? Is that the sacrifice would be consumed. But you imagine going through all of that effort that he went through, and then, boom. Think back on the incredible amount of prepared, intentional effort and high cost that went into some of the sacrifices that were made. Think about some of the intentional effort and high cost in the sacrifices that you've made in your lifetime. And they sacrificially prepared these things. They would take all of this time. They would take money out of their households. They would lay it before the Lord on the altar, and the entire point of it was that it would be consumed. Not that it would remain, it would be consumed. A sacrifice is supposed to be consumed. That's the point of it, correct? That's the whole point of a sacrifice. Why then do you, we, people, get bitter, angry, disillusioned, depressed, disappointed, pouty, when your sacrifice is consumed? When you love you, baby bear. When you've made a sacrifice, when you're being called to make a sacrifice, and it's hard. One person shared a sacrifice, but I know every one of you are sacrificing. You've been called to sacrifice. You're in the middle of God challenging you right now to make sacrifices. And if the whole point is you're going to put all of this effort and all of this cost into this sacrifice and it is supposed to be consumed, why do you get angry when it does? Why do you get mad at God when your sacrifice is consumed? Why do you get disillusioned with God and bitter and mad at him? Or at the person maybe that you've been called to sacrifice for. You make all these sacrifices for somebody and they just consume your sacrifice and you're all mad at them. Well, why should I sacrifice? What good was that? What point was in doing that? What point was it for God? And what cost me everything and what meant nothing? If God has called you to sacrifice, your sacrifice is supposed to be consumed. However, we intentionally make sacrifices for God. We make sacrifices for ourselves. We make sacrifices for other people. And we want them to be anything but consumed. Typically, we want them to be first recognized. If I'm going to make a sacrifice, I want people to notice. I want God to notice. I want the person I'm sacrificing for to notice. I want my sacrifice to be validated. I want it to be appreciated. Did you notice? Did you see I did this? Do you realize how much effort and time and sacrifice I put into doing that for you? Really? Was it worth it? We step back and we want to be recognized. We decide if the sacrifice was worth it. We don't want to be consumed. Was it worth it to do this thing? How do I measure that? Well, did I tangibly get what I wanted out of that sacrifice? Again, I'm not looking for the sacrifice to be consumed. I'm looking for it to be recognized. Or we're looking for the sacrifice to be memorialized. Once it's recognized, usually we want our sacrifices to be memorialized, which is remembered. Like a photo album. Remember God when I did this? And remember God when I did this? And by the way, Marissa, do you remember when I did this for you? And by the way, do you remember, Jerry, when I did this for you? You know how much it cost me to do that for you? I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page here. I sacrificed, but I want it to be recognized and I want it to be memorialized. I do not want it to be consumed. Don't ever forget that I did that, God. Don't ever forget that I did that for you. And then once we have it recognized, memorialized, usually we want our sacrifice to be idolized. We want our sacrifice to be honored, thought highly of, worshipped, reverenced. Look at what I did here. People to go, wow, your husband, your wife, your children, your colleagues, wow, you did that. People bowing down to that sacrifice that you made. Wow, you did that. That's amazing. That's incredible. I don't want my sacrifice to be consumed. I want it to be idolized. And then we want it to be eternalized, which means we want it to be eternal. We don't ever want it to go away. We don't want it to be consumed. We want it to be eternal. Eternal is to make something eternal, to make it famous forever. What's that? Well, that is why people make foundations. Yep, that's right. I want this sacrifice to be forever remembered by God and others. Ever. I don't want it to go away. So again, we are intentional. We pay the cost. We make these sacrifices. We put ourselves out there for God and other people and ourselves. But we want him to be recognized. We want him to be memorialized. We want him to be idolized. We want him to be eternalized. Anything but consumed. Here's what it means to have your sacrifice consumed. To be totally destroyed, used up, to expend, to take in, as in food or drink, to ravage. I think when you think about Gideon's sacrifice after it was consumed, what do you think was left there? Not much. Ash, probably. Probably some ash. See, the sacrifice is supposed to be consumed. Whatever God is calling you to do as your sacrifice right now, it's supposed to be consumed. It's supposed to be used up. It's supposed to be expended, ravaged, taken in somewhere. Gideon's sacrifice was completely consumed. Think about Elijah's sacrifice at Mount Carmel. It was consumed. Remember when the fire fell? His sacrifice was completely consumed. Even the rocks, completely consumed. Why? Because a sacrifice is supposed to be consumed. Not lied, idolized, memorialized, left there, look at what I did. No, it's supposed to be reduced to ash. To nothing. When Elijah met the widow, and I'm not going to go, you can read all these stories. If you want to read about Elijah's sacrifice at Mount Carmel, it's in 1 Kings 19, 31 through 39. And a little bit before that, in 17, you see where Elijah meets the widow. Remember Elijah and the widow, and she's going to die. She's got enough food, flour, to make the little tiny cake there. And that's all she's got left. And Elijah says, take the last that you have and make bread and give it as a sacrifice to me. Why? What do you think he did with it? Consumed it. Ate it. Took that sacrifice that she made and consumed it. Jesus came as the Lamb of God. And he became the sacrifice. And what happened to him? He was consumed. He was consumed. See, we want the sacrifice to remain the same. And I make the sacrifice, in my head, I have this idea about it, and I want it to remain in that same condition. I want it to produce or be remembered or remained or something in this way, but none of them did. A lamb that is sacrificed is reduced to ash, bones. The rocks that were sacrificed, they were reduced to nothing. If there's any remnant, when a sacrifice is made, if there is any remnant or remembrance of it, it's typically in a very different form. When a sacrifice is consumed, bread becomes crumbs, lambs become ashes, water becomes vapor, Jesus whipped, bloodied, stripped, beaten, consumed, and then glorified in a completely different form. If as a sacrifice, Jesus was not consumed, he never would have returned in a different form and been able to inhabit you and you and you and you and you and me. He had to be consumed in order to be in a different form, in order to be on the inside of us. Imagine trying to take one Jesus in the body of a man and shoving him inside of each one of us. He had to be consumed. Had to be. This is why Paul said, I just want to be broken bread and poured out wine. Why? Because he wanted to be consumed. He came and he wanted his daily life of sacrifice. He wanted it to be consumed. He wasn't looking for his life and his lifestyle of sacrifice to be idolized, memorialized, recognized, eternalized. He wasn't looking for any of that. He was looking for the sacrifice that he made every day just to be consumed. Let me be broken bread and poured out wine. He offered himself every day just as that living sacrifice to be consumed for the Lord. He was not looking through his sacrifice to attain anything for himself, to create anything for himself. Usually when we sacrifice, if we don't want, here's how you can tell if you really want your sacrifice to be consumed or not. Are you looking for something for you out of your sacrifice? Because if you're looking for something for you out of your sacrifice, then you're not looking for it to be consumed. So, turn in your Bibles to Romans. I'm almost done. Chapter 1 in the New King James. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. That means your bodies are to be consumed. Where was I? Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of service. Your reasonable act of service. Not your wonderful, most costly act. This is your reasonable act of service as a child of God, is to offer yourselves as sacrifices, knowing that those sacrifices are going to be consumed by God and for God. Again, they're not supposed to be memorialized, recognized, idolized, not supposed to be about your purposes and your agenda and how I'm going to sacrifice so that I can change this person or this situation or get what I want or get God to do this or whatever. When I sacrifice, it's for the purpose that it be consumed by God, for his good and perfect purpose in me, in the kingdom, in other people. I read this some time ago. This is worthy of reading a lot because this is Paul, again, who really understood what it means to be a living sacrifice and who really wanted his sacrifices to be consumed, to be broken bread and poured out wine. Versus some of the Pharisees and the other people that you read on the Bible who were willing to sacrifice. But again, it was to be recognized, memorialized, idolized, eternalized forever. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, though outwardly a man perish, yet inwardly the man is renewed day by day. Oswald Chambers says this, Paul faces the possibility of old age, of decay, and of death with no rebellion and no sadness. Paul never hid himself from the effect which his work had upon him. He knew it was killing him. And like his master, he was old before his time. But there was no whining and no retiring from the work. Paul was not a fool. He did not waste his energy ridiculously. Neither did he ignore the fact that it was his genuine apostolic work and nothing else that was wearing him out. Why? Because he was being consumed for the kingdom. Michelangelo said a wonderful thing. The more the marble wears, the better the image grows. It is an illustration of this very truth. Every wasting of nerve and brain in work for God brings a corresponding uplifting and strengthening to spiritual muscle and fiber. So, I say to you tonight, where you're sacrificing, let it be consumed. Because here's the problem. If we don't get our heart right about sacrificing, good Christians will keep sacrificing and they'll just become bitter Christians. And that's the honest truth. A bitter Christian, a disappointed, disillusioned, angry Christian is one who sacrificed and sacrificed and sacrificed. Only they had their agenda wrong about the sacrifice. And so they kept sacrificing, and the sacrifice kept getting consumed, and they kept feeling disappointed and disillusioned, and it's not working out like I thought, and God, I don't understand, and I'm paying a high price, and so is my family, and so are my finances, and why is this happening? And they get more angry, and they get more bitter, and they get more distant, and they get more shut down, and they look less every day like a sold-out disciple of Christ, and more every day like a hard, bitter Pharisee who's just working for him. If you can get your heart right and understand, if I'm just living my life for you, that song that we sang, I just do my best every day to live my life for truth, to live my life for you, to spend myself on behalf of love's reward. And Lord, you're going to burn everything I do up. You're going to consume it all. And I'm not going to worry about that, because you have a plan for the sacrifice. It goes somewhere. When the widow's sacrifice, when Elijah ate up her sacrifice and consumed it, it went somewhere good. She didn't necessarily get to control where it went or see how it all turned out. But it was consumed for the Lord's purpose, which means it had to be for a good purpose. So if we're going to sacrifice for the Lord, then I think we should get our heart right about it and expect it to be consumed. Otherwise, don't sacrifice. That was awesome. He levitated. I don't think I've ever seen that. That was awesome. So, that's all I have. That's all I have. So.